Not only do I want to give thanks for the Lord for who He is, the head of our lives, but I want to thank God for Sister Crystal. You know, the last time she was teaching, I was saying, Lord, we ain't heard this enough. You know, I was saying, Lord, what is it? I said, when we're going to go on a little bit from here. And immediately she said something in her teaching on rejection that pierced my spirit. And it took me to a place in time when I was in high school. See, a lot of time, like splinters we get in our hands, and we don't know it till maybe a day or two later, and it began to fester up and pus, and we have to pull it out. That's the way this situation that happened in high school. In high school, I had experienced so much rejection, and a lot of time people don't know it because I keep a smile, you know, but... Now, homecoming court was one of our dear friends, and she was a girl from our neighborhood. We played together. We grew up together. Everybody married her. She was the one we all married in our circle of friends. And so we all are seniors, and I wasn't the only one that felt the rejection. Several of us, once we found out she was homecoming queen, we knew that we was going to be the ones that escorted her. So when Crystal was teaching last time, that pierced my heart. I don't know what she said, but it brought me back to that moment of time of how I heard it. I never told her. I never told anybody else. But it took me back to that moment of time. And then not only did that hurt, some other things come up about how I didn't know about my scholarship. Several of us didn't know about our football scholarships and how we had to pray for others. You know, I learned this process. Everything is a process. Amen. And so during the process of time, I got over it, but I didn't know that it was still there. Amen. So before I get into the lesson, I just wanted to share that with you, that all of us have went through something and all of us have faced some type of rejection, whether it was from a brother, a sister, someone in the church, someone at school, but we got to get over it. Amen. And so I thank God that she was saying that was the last, she said that was the last lesson, right? I believe. And so I just wanted to share that with you, that I was delivered from that. I've been delivered from the scholarships thing. I got over that. But I didn't know that part of the homecoming was still in my heart. I'm what? Turn 47 today. Amen. And so that happened when I was 18. However, Crystal wanted me to share that with you guys. Amen. So I want to go to the 23rd Psalms. Got it yet, Joe? Or am I in the way? I begin reading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've been praying for a while on what to teach, and the Spirit kept bringing me back to this. And I remember she said, as we went through the deliverance part of the message the last time we all met, since a house has been cleaned of rejection, and there's several other words that can go with that, the Bible declares that once your house has been cleaned, you need to restore it with the word. Amen. And so for some reason, it's just been standing in my mind. You know what Pastor Ford say? Because I have God's word on my situation, must change. That part, I know he said many other things, but that part stays with me. And because the word is the very mind of God, you know, my situation, therefore, must change. And so what God has been telling me is that we still, no matter how often we come and we talk, we have to keep filling our houses up with the word. Amen. Acts 17 and 28 said, "For in him we move and have our beings." Amen. And so what I want to begin with, and you have to keep up with me. I won't just be in one spot. But I want to begin with, I like to play this game, Battleship. And my wife beat me 3 times the other day. However, a few weeks ago, I had a dream. I said, maybe it was just from me playing the game. And nevertheless, I had a dream, and I kept seeing these missiles coming bombarding us. And that's the way it is in our life. Whether it's rejection, whether we lied on, whether somebody stole from us or being mistreated, those are bombs from Satan. Amen? But we have a word in Ephesians 6 that tells us what we must do. Amen? And I believe this got to be Pastor McRae's favorite scripture, or one of them, because I started praying with Brother McRae in 1993, I believe it is. And this is all I ever heard him pray. Or he was teaching a lot of time. But it's very practical. But sometimes we take for granted the simplest scripture. But this is what God is saying. We have to put on the whole armor of God. Because there are so many distorted truths, even from the pulpits. But because we got God's word, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly divide the word of truth." So before we go too far, I want to read Ephesians 6. Let me see what scripture. I'm going to start at verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." That's our problem. That's my problems. Because we are ministers or teachers or urchins, it doesn't exempt us. And we have to do battle, but not in the flesh. It's so easy to want to knock somebody upside the head. It's so easy to want to do this or do that. But the Bible said the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. But it says, I'm getting ahead of myself. "But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." I kind of laughed at Brother Jason. He spoke that to me out there. I told him, you know, I didn't know if we was going to have it because of this. Oh, yeah, a little faith. Which it is. We have that power. We have that right, and we have that inheritance to speak the word of God. Amen. Jesus said, "Greater works you shall do." Amen. And so what am I saying is all of the teaching and everything that we've been studying is helping us to get prepared for battle. You know, 2 Timothy said, who go to war without being prepared? Amen. What is basic training for? This is just a Bible class. I'm not preaching. So y'all may have to interact a little bit. But what is basic training for? What'd you say, brother? It gets you trained for battle, you know, and it kind of weed out the ones that may not can make it in battle. It gets you familiar with your weaponry, and this is our weaponry right here. You know, we have legal rights to carry this. We may not can carry a pistol, but this is greater than a pistol. Amen? But he said, take the helmet of salvation. And then verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Amen. He's saying that we need to get prepared for this battle. We need to, for lack of a better word, indulge in the Word of God. David said in his Word, I meditate day and night. And then in Psalms 1, it says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth your fruit in due season. But we have to meditate. Amen. And because our scripture, where we're going to be studying from, is Psalms 23. But I'm going somewhere right now. Jeremiah 23:3 said, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that break rocks in pieces. I'm with you through every situation. You know, I believe it's in Peter. I believe it's in 2 Peter where he says, you're not the only one going through something. Every one of us is going through some type of battle, whether it's with the children, whether it's financially, whether it's with people on the work. See, they have some good books, how to handle a hostile environment. Melissa Thompson wrote, What to Do in the Winter of Your Storm. Sometimes you don't feel churchy, or sometimes you don't feel spiritual, or sometimes you may not feel like going. But we go and we do because of the Word. It is not us. It's God. Amen. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the country. Is that correct, Joe? I gave you the wrong scripture somewhere. I'm going to read what I have. It's not my word. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, that's 23:3. Like the fire declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Understand this, the Lord says, I will contend with those that contend with thee, and I will bless those that bless thee. Everything that we've been going through for the last couple of years during this winnowing process, is to help our mind and our spiritual mind to let us know that God loves us and he cares for us. That whatever we went through, well, whether we were molested, misused, or like me, my parents were killed, when I was 10, whatever the situation was, you know, God got it. And God is in control. We'll find that out when we talk about Job. You know, God is in control. If we ever get to the place where we relax, see, that's what the 23rd Psalms is about. Once we learn how to relax in God, it's going to become easier for us. It doesn't exempt us from problems. It doesn't exempt us from bad situations. But we have a solution. See, the world doesn't have a solution. All they know is more chaos. But we have a person and a God that we can bring our situations to. Amen. We must realize that we have God on our situation. Things are going to change. You know, the word says, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. God cares about each one of us through broken relationships, broken contracts. If you could see my body, you know, if I wore a white suit, I would look like a porcupine. If you could see the lies that have been told, you know, if you could see all of these things, and I imagine a lot of you will look like porcupines. But it's not about what we will look like. It's about the God that takes all of those thorns or lies. We have somebody that we talked about Sunday. He took all of that for us. Amen. Let's look at Isaiah 53. Give me a second. We're going to start at verse 4. Are y'all all right? I ain't boring you, am I? We just kind of going to walk through the word a little bit. You don't want to hear me. I don't know a whole lot. Okay. I get lost when I'm just talking. I was talking to the Lord, and I had no idea this come to me today. Because we're closing the thing about rejection. But I didn't realize how much it said it in the scripture till I reread it. I'm going to start at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. See, the word said, he that knew no sin became sin. That was supposed to have been us, but Jesus, he paid that price. You know, it said he was despised and we esteemed him. He was afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. See, there again, some of us have been sick of fighting in our bodies. I know my wife has since I've been with her. I have. But we have a right to healing. I don't care what it looked like. I'm going to be healed. She's healed. And that's what we see. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And that's what we have to speak. I'm healed. I'm healed from rejection. I'm healed from the lie. See, I told you saw spines, but because of the blood, you don't see all that. You know, because of the blood, you don't see all of those things. But it says he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone on his way, and the Lord has laid his iniquities upon him. Amen. So why did Jesus die? He died for us. You know, because we couldn't handle it, but we can handle it now. And what he's saying to us, you can handle it. I have already experienced it. Keep going. Everything that you're going through, I went through. And he said, it's part of the process. Amen. And so I want to go back to our main text, Psalms 23. Let's see what time it is. And Sister Kristen, I'm not going to elaborate on it. She had talked about how David had been rejected, how he had been mistreated. And we know about Amnon raped his sister Tamar, and Absalom wanted to kill him and take the kingdom over and everything. But David had come to a point in his life. And I'm going to try to sum it up and get through. But David had came into a point of his life, the reason why he wrote the 23rd Psalms. He realized that everything that he had been to the sheep is what God is to us. And he wanted, not only was he just writing it for himself, but he was writing it for everybody, because just like nowadays, we have people still believing in Buddhism, people believing in a new age, but we're going to have to be the new Davids now. We got to bring it to modern, that the Lord is my shepherd. And what he was saying is, Jehovah is my God. This is a personal thing. And we all have to establish this personal relationship, that no matter what we've been through, I'm going to make God the head of my life, not just the center. I used to always say the middle line. But one of my friends, he always said, God is the top, the middle, and the bottom line. We got to let him be everything to us. Amen. And that is the only way we can make it. Amen. So when you're going through your trials and your tribulation, know that it's not enough to just have a good friend, a prayer partner. You need a relationship. We all need to be able to say like David, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Another thing that David did in his Psalms, he used seven of the Lord's Hebraic name, and that's what I'm going to try, the Lord's will, to talk about how he used these names and what it means to us. And I've been studying a book for a while about the sheep and who they are, and try to bring it in, how why God calls us like sheep and why he wants to be our shepherd. Amen. It was saying that, like I said before, that he wanted you to know that he is the self-existing God. There's nobody else. It's not the God of yourself. And I'm not going to call some of these folks' name on TV, but they're trying to teach you. You're your own God. The Bible said we're a little God, but we got to look to the God. David said, I'm going to look to the hill from whence cometh all my help. All my help coming from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. That's where our help come from. Amen. And I remember in studying this before that it says when the scribes got ready to write Jehovah, that the name was so sacred that they would put down the pen that they was writing and picked up a new pen and wrote. That's how sacred and personal God got to be to us. Amen. We ain't just going to heaven any kind of way. We can't just do any kind of thing. We're going to have to realize that Jehovah God, amen, is the one that we look into. Revelations 22 and 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Amen. Then he said, I shall not want. The Bible said there is no good thing, I shall not want. I don't lack anything because he is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Our provider. It doesn't matter how it looks. God will make a way. And I know where I come from, my roots, my heritage. I will say a lot of other things, but from my heritage, it has always been stated that God may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. I don't know about you guys, but I know about a person like me, Brother Rogers. We totally got to depend on the Lord for work and jobs. And even when you have just a regular job, sometimes things are mine up, situations are doctor. We still have to look to him. I worked at the paper mill, but that check was already allocated. I had the roof on the side to have some spending money. Amen. So we got to know that I shall not want. Amen. I shall not want for rest. I shall not want for peace. I shall not want for love because of God. Amen. But it says, I shall not want. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. A sheep, he couldn't rest unless he knew he was fed properly. A sheep, he could not rest unless he knew he had protection. And that's what it said. Long as he could see his protector, and long as he knew he was well fed, it said that he could rest. Amen. And then it says, why can't we sleep sometime? Because we struggle giving our problems to him. Amen. It says, give it all to him because he cares for us. Amen. And I'm not talking to you like I don't know. You know, I think about, I got just two kids. Just two. So there's been times when I said, Lord, how did my grandma make it through with 10 kids? Hey, I don't have but two. How did my auntie make it with 13? I don't have but two. So I had to learn quick how to give it to Jesus. I'm not finna stay up here and worry, have no heart attack, because I've given them the foundation. That's why I said you have a God that never slumber nor sleep. He'll stay up for you. Amen. He's going to work it out. Now, how he work it out, I can't tell you. I can tell you he will work it out. I remember my father before he got delivered of drugs. My grandma was praying a prayer. And God said, I can't answer that. He said, you praying a conditional prayer. You want him delivered. But you want it on your terms. How many of us, you ain't got to stick your hand up. How many of us, though, we want it done our way? But God is our leader. God is our guide. He is our protector. Oh, just praise. Okay. You know, and that's why it says he's Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. That was another name. That's what David would tell me. The Lord is our peace. He says, peace don't come from the world. The peace that I give you joy. you know, we can buy all the women, we can buy all the men, we can buy the fanciest car, we can have the biggest house, but that don't give you peace. I talk to young people all the time. Michael Jackson, according to Man and TV and the papers, he didn't have no rest. Mike Tyson is enjoying his life more now than when he was fighting a night for $30 million. Amen. That's why Solomon, and you've heard me say it, he that has silver shall not be satisfied with silver, because God created us for himself. Just like this grass for a sheep, or the alfalfa for a sheep, just like he's sitting there chewing the cud and he's regurgitating it because he has a multi-stomach. He's chewing the alfalfa, and I forget the proper word. What do they call it? Not regurgitate. It's something along the line where he's steady, continue to re-chew it, kind of like a cow does. He's getting all the nutrients out. That's why we got to stay in this word. Everything that we've been taught, we have to try to retain it. Ask God to help us retain the word and the knowledge that he's been giving us. Amen. Everything, every scripture that apply to you, somebody that's battling loneliness, you look up all the scripture where it says, I never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the ends of the world. You know, that's what you need to just stay on. No matter how Satan say, oh, you lonely, you're going to die lonely, you're going to die old in the rocking, you'll lie. See, that way I talk to him. I can't tell you how I talk to him, but I can get pretty wild. I've always been a fighter. We got a right to fight. He said, remember we read, put on the whole armor of God. You ain't going in there just to... You have a real enemy. I can't remember all the Greek words, but it said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, seeketh to devour you as a roaring lion. And when you look up the words in Greek, it says your chief opponent, your arch enemy, he's trying to swallow you whole. And my wife don't like this term. Anybody ever seen an anaconda? You know, or any of those other no-walking animals? They are swallowing their victim. That's how bad Satan wants you. That's why you got to chew the cud. Chew this word up. Chew it up and believe it. It's not enough to just read it. You got to believe it. You got to make it practical. You got to know that God would do just what he said he'll do. I don't care if nobody else will believe it. I believe it. Remember the prophet Elijah when he said, my master, you know, he said, if you see me, I'll give you a double portion. He believed that. And when he walked out there on the water, see, we never know who's watching him. The kids from the school were standing around. And when he smoked that water, he walked across on dry land. They said he has the spirit of God. See, you never know who's watching you. You don't know what niece, what nephew, what cousin, what brother, what person in the church is watching you walk through that storm. Amen. We got to believe this thing, that the Lord will give you rest. Amen. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Jeremiah 33:16 says, the Lord our righteousness, which is Jehovah Sikkenu. He wrote this because whenever a sheep is cast down, he cannot do anything but wait for death. He is frantic, he's bleeding, wild animals, cougars, and buzzards all around, because when that sheep is making, they know it's just a matter of time, you know, before he die. Unless the shepherd come, and that's the way we are. Sometimes we get all bent out of shape, and we're human. Amen. Sometimes we worry. Anybody ever been cast down? What cast down mean in our language today? Say I brown, Brother Rogers. And I'm just feeling so bad and so low. Somebody gonna have to come and hey, brother, you did wrong. You ain't the first. You know, those are not cliches. That's the truth. We're not the first. We won't be the last. Get it right. The Bible says, ye which are spiritually strong, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest ye find yourself also tempted, because Satan ain't went nowhere. Amen. And so we have to be restored. And it's the shepherd's job. Amen. The shepherd comes and he turns over the sheep. And while he's turning over the sheep, he's talking to them. And he's rubbing him. And he's talking to him. And it says he had to turn him over easily, because if he turned him too fast, the gases from his stomach and the oxygen would kill him. And that's the way it is with us. Man will try to put a bunch of rules upon you the day you join church. But God is taking you through a process. Amen. We sing that Bible song. What's that? Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. See, you got to get some word, and you have to get some songs in you. Amen. But it says many of us become helpless like the sheep. Amen. And so we must depend on Jesus to help us. Psalms 56 and 13. Thou hast delivered my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of the living. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Amen. We got to take heed. We got to try to restore each other. Build up one another. Amen. See how much time I got. I'm moving, y'all. I'm going to try to finish it. Amen. Okay. He's leading me because his name is on the line. Amen. We need a good shepherd. Amen. He leads us. He loves us. And just as sheep are blind, so are we. They fall into old habits. And it takes Jesus. See, the thing about sheep, have anybody ever seen cows? What happened? I'm going to need you, Brother Jason and Brother Rod, Brother Chris. Come on up. Brother Jason, you're going to lead us. This is what I've seen a lot of days. Now, all the time it don't happen, you're going to walk. Start walking. Brother Roger's behind you. That's how the cows do. They just mosing on. Okay, you can turn, bro. No, we still falling here. If you ever look, sometimes they'll cut ruts. And this is what a sheep does. If they don't have a shepherd, they'll just keep going in circles. Okay, brother, y'all can return. Thank y'all. Give our cows a hand. Me and a God a hand. But you'll stay in a rut. And so that's why we need, when I'm teaching people one-on-one, I'm not a likable person, because I knew God was serious with me. So I'm serious with myself, and if you want help, I can help you. But if you're playing, I ain't got time. Because I'm going to tell you what God says. I'll tell you about my experiences. Some stuff I'm going to tell you in confidence, but you're going to have to be naked with me. In order for me to help you, you're going to have to be naked too. You know, that's the only way I can help you is through what I went through. It took fasting and it took praying, but you can't keep playing. You know, some people just keep playing. Some people just want attention. So I don't have a lot of time in that department, because I'm still working on not getting upset easily. You know, sometimes certain stuff can irritate me. Let me put it like that. I can get irritated sometimes, so I'm still working on that, because the scripture says we shouldn't be easily irritated. Amen? Okay, moving on. John 14 and 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 10 says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. And then what David was saying is that when Jesus quoted, he says, if y'all want to know who David was talking about, he was talking about me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth his life down for the sheep. No man take my life. Remember we read earlier what it says, he was just as a dumb animal, and he didn't say nothing. And remember when Pilate, I believe it was, said, you know, I can let you go. That guy is, no, you lie. You don't have no power except for what my daddy give you. Amen. He says, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. Amen. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Who is that? That's Jehovah Nissi. Exodus 17 and 15. When God helped Moses with the children of the Amalekites. You know, the Amalekites wouldn't help them when they come out of Egypt. And so a lot of time we feel defenseless. A lot of time we may feel like we don't have no help. But God will fight our battles for us. Amen. We're going to have some ups and we're going to have some downs, but the valley. The thing about a valley is, and we don't have time to get into it, but one day we will. Psalms 22 is Mount Calvary. Psalms 24 is Mount Zion. And that's why the 23rd Psalms is considered a valley psalm, because you can have no valley without two mountains. And so, in the midst of that valley, in the midst of everything that you're going through, it doesn't matter where evil is trying to hide, God got us covered. Amen? And that's why he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, you can't have a shadow without a greater light. Amen? Who is our light? Jesus. You know, that's our light. He's the light of the world. And so that's why he said, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. This brings us to another place. That's why we got to get Psalms 91. You know, there are certain things that you need to have every morning, like your orange juice or your milk. With me, I drink them all at one time, milk, water, coffee, and all. You know, but there are certain things, nutrients that you got to have that's got to become part of you. You got to be like Psalms 91. One of the council battles my wife went through. This is where the Lord showed me through the church. We'll kick a man when he's down. We don't know it. They had sent off some biopsy a couple of times. She had a knot as big as my hand, darker than my hand. Stuff running out. We ain't got no babies in there, though. Stuff was coming out. And at that time, I wasn't much help. I couldn't do nothing for her. Because we had all kind of hurricanes and Katrinas. One, we get out of this hurricane, here's another one. Y'all ever been in that place? Yeah, we get out of this hurricane, here come another. So I wasn't no help to her at the time, but she heard the Lord tell her, read Psalms 91. And then he says, you shall have a true and holy family. And then it says, only with my eyes will I behold the evil. You know, 1,000 might fall at my left and 10,000, but only with my eyes. See, I believe in what God said, because he says, I'm in him. There's no good thing that thou withhold from them that walketh uprightly. Amen. God got some good things in store for us. That's our inheritance. That's our legal right. And that's what David is trying to teach us through the Psalm. Oh, we got to move to a close, though. Amen. I want to say this, in closing, that God is everything to us. We don't have to fear no evil. We ain't got to worry about no food. We don't have to be stressed out about anything. If we go into our 10th, 20th, 30th, or 40th school reunion, we ain't got to be stressed out about nothing. I see on the internet, Bill got all his hair and all his teeth. Hey, that doesn't matter. The thing is, God kept us here. We all alive. Amen. And we're alive in God. Amen. We don't have to fear what the news is. Don't let that CNN control the way you think and believe in God. You know, don't let this ISIS thing. You have the power. Just like the word said, if I bind a strong man, you can take his house. This is our house. This is our city. ISIS, you can't come here. See, that's what we got to start saying. Whoa, Lord, what we're going to do if the terror is here? I know what's going to happen. You know, we're going to put prayer on him. We're going to be like the lady in the war room. He's going to have to drop everything. See, I had a man one time. I'm going to tell you another experience. There were three guys looked like me. One a little taller, one a little brighter, and they had hazel or some color eyes. I probably was about 26 at the time. I'm going to say this in closing because we don't have to want for protection. This true story. And what happened, the man said, you were sleeping with my wife. I said, I don't know your wife. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, her name Bathsheba. He, do you know Bathsheba? You know me? Yeah, I know Bathsheba. He said, do you know Bathsheba? I know the one in the Bible. Come here, Brother Chris. I'm going to show you how he was. He said, are you ready to die? I said, are you ready to die? I know where I'm going. I might not, because I was getting partial in the flesh, too. But I said, if I die today, I know where I'm going. I said, do you know where you're going? And he said, wait on.
So he went to his car about to get that column.
And he come back. I said, oh, Lord, this man going to get a gun? What am I going to do? I just stood there and waited on.
Don't ask me why I did.
So I'm standing there waiting on him. He come back with a big knife. And he took the knife
and he swung at me.
So it had to be the Lord to knock the knife down on the ground. Here's another thing I don't know why. I picked it up and I gave it to him. I still don't know why. But this is what he done. You better go. You better leave me alone. You better go on. And his buddies started laughing. To this day, I don't know what God showed him. But whatever it showed him, it had him acting like a little kid. It has his, had his friends laughing. And I gave him his knife back. I can't actually answer why. If it was today, I don't know if I would do the same thing. But what I'm saying, God is your lover. He's your healer. He's your protector. It doesn't matter about rejection or anything else. God got it covered. May God bless you and keep you. And if anybody needs prayer over loneliness, protection, or rejection, we just believe in that it's resolved and done. But if you need prayer for anything, we'll stand in agreement with you up here tonight. Amen.